Yeah, we're live, yo. I don't know if you can hear, but we can. You know how we do. Always dancing a little bit, playing some music, getting a good move before we go live. Hoping we're live now. It would appear so. If we're talking loud, forgive us. The music is very loud in my headphones right now. Yeah, that takes me back every time.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that takes me back every time.
Could you hear me okay? Yeah, you can. You were right.
I told you. As soon as the music goes away, you'll be fine.
I'm all freaking out going, no, I don't think it's working.
A little love to Sticky Fingers, How to Fly. Takes me right back to Lido Beach, man.
Yeah.
It does seem quiet, though. Like, I can't hear you all.
Well, I really haven't been talking much. Does that sound better? Or do you need me to turn maybe mine up?
I don't know.
Or should I turn it up, perhaps?
I'm just going to crank it and see what happens. See, look, I'm cranked and it's still on.
I know, I'm talking about literally me just talking louder.
Yeah, do we sound good out there, everybody? Little thumbs up there. Welcome.
Hello, check, check.
Are you pulled up on the Facebook page there?
Let me see.
Yeah, if you pull it up live now, it's going to go, hi, welcome, and we're in like a 10-second delay. Hi, Tracy. I'm Melissa. Up late night, I see. We're hanging out. We're late, as usual.
Mine is just taking too long.
Yeah. No, take your time. I have no problem talking to myself in the microphone.
I can still talk.
It does seem much lower, though, in the headphones. Like, we're not putting some, like, some, I almost said, like, we're not putting out.
That is not the case.
That isn't. Yeah. Hi, you two. If we sound good to you or if we sound low, let us know. I'm rhyming.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying,
it was terrible. No.
I figured you just needed a little kickstart or something.
Talking to the microphone for me. I don't know. It just seems low. I have everything cranked up. I'm not really understanding here.
I think it sounds fine.
It does.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe I'm just losing my hearing.
Perhaps.
Oh, no.
Maybe that would be torture. Like equal.
If you had to choose cider or... That would be sound, right? That's opposite. I almost said taste, though.
Hearing.
But it's not close. I mean, sight and taste, not even close. But if you did sight or sound.
Oh, I'd definitely choose sight.
Yeah, choose sight over being able to hear anything.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. You can see the changes and stuff like that. That would just be it. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Actually, I'd have to imagine.
Hopefully. Hopefully you have to keep imagining.
I would at least hope that I could have had some good, solid visual memories, you know, till at least I was over the 20s. So when I heard their voices, I could at least have that image.
I like that. I was double checking on the phone just to see about the sound, but...
good, solid visual memories, you know.
That's going to be cool because it's going to sound like a flashback. That's going to be cool. So if you're excuse me, listening live now, I will have coughed three times. You listening live now, then what we just played in there, that was the past again, and then, yeah.
So on and so forth.
Yes. Peaks and valleys, you know how it is.
Yeah, let's elaborate.
Well, we got on the topic of the peaks and valleys because we were talking about comparing surfing. Right, or I was probably talking about comparing surfing and kind of like life. I forgot who called me or reached out or something, but it like a wave of life, really, is how the waves just keep coming, you know, and you can paddle and fall, then you get up and eventually you ride, then you're riding some more, but the waves just keep coming, and I think that led us to talking about peaks and valleys, and I went on some rant about how there's no such thing as peaks and valleys whatsoever.
We were getting pretty deep into metaphors, which is, I like to tell stories in metaphoric form. Is that the way you say it?
Yeah.
That's how I like to tell stories, so that when I'm telling my story, everybody gets to create their own image or their idea of what the metaphor is actually standing for. So that sounds a little bit... I felt it in my ear.
Welcome back, right?
Yeah, just maybe a little bit, a tad less of Patricia.
Now, all we got to do there, now everything is back to normal in the headphones. I remember I told you it sounded so low. I'm like, usually I have to turn it down.
Yeah, You are good.
We're back, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it sounds better for you all. Let us know if there is a difference, because then we're going to have to get a new mixer here and something. But I just touched a little bit of the gain, messed with the USB, the import input volume, and I was like, boom, now we're tapping out reds. And I'm like, oh, God. I got to kind of turn the gains back down a little bit because we were... Yeah, but it is good to actually be actually podcasting again.
Yeah.
Forgive us with the slow start as if we had nothing to talk about, but I was just in my head going, why did she sound so far away?
You're like, did I say something wrong earlier? Why do I feel this way?
Man, well, there's a distance.
When she's talking.
There's a distance in the podcast.
It's so funny. It's way different. It's so much easier now.
Right. Back.
I wouldn't even think that. Like, I didn't realize I was missing something in telling.
Maybe
got
we're just
better.
We're just sick. We just need each other inside each other's heads. Now it's just all cranked up. Now you're really in my head for real.
You know, he was saying that this morning that he was talking to me, like waiting for my response, and I'm like, what? And he goes, oh, I didn't say it out loud. I'm like, no. He's like, well, I thought it did. Okay. Well, and so it's like we're just inside each other's heads, sitting there having coffee, laughing, and we're not even looking at our phones.
Well, Alex was chatting, and I made a joke about how I wonder if somehow we're entering one another by doing the show weekly. We strap on these headgear type things that go in the ears. We stare across from each other and talk into our microphones, sending voices directly into one another's ear. Because... Never mind. I'm going to keep that.
Yeah,
what was
it
coming
sounds to me like you're like going somewhere else. Like,
well, I was going to reveal something that was I liked, but I just
no,
thought.
No, it was very alluring, yes.
Yeah.
Possibly a little too much.
Right.
I was floating in the air now going.
No, but I didn't want to reveal too much personal about, well, it's just a wonderful energy when we get off of the podcast Sunday, which I really enjoy. How about that? We'll leave it there, and I didn't want to go that far, but there's a wonderful energy that comes off of the podcast generally when we get off, literally. literally off the air.
It's so funny, baby.
No,
you look so nervous right now. It is so cute.
Oh, but I mean it. So I wasn't going to reveal that, right? I was trying to be like, no, there's a lady in the room. I'm like, fuck it, she'd say it.
All right. I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right. Anyway, so the idea, I thought, I wonder if, you know, well, remember we talked about this activity, right? I was helping, back when I was doing some mental training, and I was helping this couple, and I gave them that sit back-to-back exercise, right? And
yeah.
You talk and have the time frame and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, looking at an activity of doing something like that, right? But so it kind of mimics that, right? That we sit across from each other.
Yeah.
We look at each other in the eye.
Yeah.
And I hear you.
Yeah.
There's no, there, I have to like, she's talking.
Yeah. I've got the ear blinders.
Yeah.
Stay focused right here, please. If you behave yourself, I will not do my computer voice.
Oh, don't do that. That creepy ass fucking AI voice that the world is ending. Mm. No, that's too creepy. But I wonder, and we were joking about how, excuse me, we were joking about how maybe it's connected like that and find another wavelength. And I was like, oh, there is the obvious as well,
yeah.
The actual physical connection to at the same
right?
time.
I was like, well, we actually do other things that could connect us, babe.
All right.
I'm like, yeah, that's true.
Melissa is back. Hi again, Melissa and Alexis. Hello, dear.
Hello, Lexi Lou and Lisa. Hi.
Matt just joined.
Matt.
Yeah, Tracy in the room as always. Sorry, I was apologizing on live video that we were late. Join us Sundays at 8 or maybe midnight. Depends on when we actually get on the microphone and set up. But we were pre-packing, so
yeah,
it took us a minute. So we kind of got sidetracked a little bit hanging out pre-packing. Literally,
it's been fun. I was doing my. I'm kind of a weirdo. I like to, when I'm unpacking stuff or figuring out if I like stuff, I'll try on a bunch of random things, and they don't necessarily have to match, but they feel really good. So, you know, I put on maybe some mismatched heels sometimes, see which one is feeling better. And I used to do that all the time, and it's so funny because I didn't recognize it until this evening that I was doing that.
Oh, you've done that a while.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I didn't really miss it until I was doing it.
I think it's funny because it's like dress up. Like, you would come in and out, and each time you'd walk by the room where I was packing something, you had a different necklace on or a different dress in some way. And yeah. You're like, look, aren't I pretty? And I think I was like,
I did not say, look, aren't I pretty.
But you did it like cute, like, okay. Like you were a seven-year-old.
I was like, last week I already was an idiot when I said a solid 12. I was like, what scale? Please tell everybody I was talking about 1 to 100.
No, not at all. That's not so. But I think it's so playful, though. It's so, you know, it's I like watching it. It's cute because you're young like that. And when you come out, it was funny. You were wearing the, looked like some shit Cleopatra would wear.
Oh, yeah, my necklace. Yeah.
and then you were crossed over sort of still with the green dress at the same time. That was like so I was like, man, this has got all Egyptian and shit. I was like, I'm digging this.
Yeah, and then I had my pigtails. Oh, and I did throw on my fancy new watch.
No, yeah. Matching Rolly stuff.
Yes.
What's up?
I got a great little gift.
Yeah, well, we did.
We did, yes.
Yeah, matching Rollies. It's pretty. Just in time for the boat.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be out. Well, I was saying we were packing up because we're kind of in limbo for like a 4-day stretch before the beach house was ready. So we're kind of like on this, all right, dogs are here, this stuff. And we don't have much stuff, which is cool. I was loving how I'm walking around going like, I love this. Like, I hate to even say minimalist, because a minimalist would not have a badass coffee table with 7 cool fucking chairs to do podcasting. This would be overkill. But there's the line between functional, what's necessary. Like, it's been really cool shaping that.
It's been fun, too. We talked about it on a previous podcast, but to being able to do it with a very, very little budget to do it with.
That's
by choice,
part.
You know, where you go, let's just make sure we don't buy anything that's more expensive than what we're selling.
Yeah, and just kind of switch it. And I like where we're sitting right now, like where everything is at. We transferred this, got rid of that. But
real quick, did the lighting just now change for you?
No.
Oh, maybe it's because my computer was like, what's happening? Whatever.
I love it. Did the lighting change? Your computer went to sleep. That's all.
Thanks.
But I like how there's no excess. It's what's necessary from the kitchen to all the outdoor stuff that we have. Most of it's really outdoor stuff. If we did nothing outdoors, it would be probably two-thirds. Yeah. Two-thirds of what's in there, which is almost nothing.
Yeah, it did feel really good. There was no stress, no, oh, gosh, what are we going to put this in? Or none of that. It was, I mean, I have 2 suitcases.
Yeah. And the freedom to be able to move.
Yes.
Yeah, and not stress or have to pay for storage over. I mean, I like that. I'm digging it.
Yeah, it is a great feeling.
So we've obviously been talking a lot about being able to surf where we're going, and that's why the surf metaphor, obviously, about peaks and valleys, and, you know, the waves are going to keep coming. It's if you can get back up and go out there, right? And, you know, one of my cognitive rampage rants about there are no peaks and valleys, and my metaphoric, as you said, argument for it is, look, if you learn the most, if steel is forged in the fire, if you will, and through that valley is where you're forged and learn the most, then when we look back, we do become grateful for the valley as we got stronger in the valley. And then, yeah, when we hit our peak, we may not be learning as much as we are really just peaking, if you will. And so I thought, man, how dare us reference the valley as being the shadow of death, really? As man, you know, the peaks and valleys. So I'm like, well, all right. Generally, when somebody says that shit, I assume they're in the valley. I rarely hear somebody go like, hey, you know, just riding the peaks and valleys, and fuck, we are peaking. Shit
the valley
is awesome.
Should be foreplay. Okay? There should be no boring part about it. Foreplay and peak.
Mm. Yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But the idea that people reference it so in relationships, man, in any kind of discussion, argument, debate, pick a fucking word, whatever makes you feel good, in the discussion, communication, whatever, right? There's generally always this cliche line. There's so many that pop out sometimes, right? We've had enough relationships in our lives, right?
Yeah.
It's but just cliche responses to where it doesn't. I'm trying to think of an example, so I'm stuttering. I'm running out the sentence here for a minute, going like, I need a good example. I got the old role. Like,
she never shuts the hell up, and now she's just going to be patient.
Right.
When is this happening?
I'm like, jump in so I can think.
I wish I could help you. I don't. I can't.
Oh, can I ever get a word in? Right? Some cliche thing. Like, oh. You know what I'm talking about. Just something, a cliche line that people just spout off in some emotional, you know, discussion between each other, right? It's like, can I ever get a word in? You know, somebody
or like, you're just like your father.
No, oh, Jesus.
Ow. Ow. You're just like your father.
No, but I forgot where I was going with the cliche statements altogether. That's now okay. That I've walked down,
we'll
this road.
We'll wrap around it again.
Yeah, I'm trying to get there. But
you know what's funny is I thought you were referencing what you were talking about in your rampage.
Oh, peaks and valleys. So regular, sometimes people would talk about or maybe in a relationship, they call their friend, they call their girlfriend. Yeah, hey, you know, just the peaks and valleys. And rarely is that ever referenced in a positive light, right? No one's cliche dropping out peaks and valleys, you know, when shit's great. When shit's great, you're like, it's good.
Gonna go get on another roller coaster relationship.
Right. But the idea is, is there peaks and valleys in a relationship, right? And if so, what are they? And if we stick together, the GWE... General you, right? The GWE sticks together. And
yeah, it sounds kind of weird.
Weird, doesn't it?
GWE sticks together when you rub this.
My app is sponsored by GWE. No, the general we, right? Sticks together if they do through a valley, if you will. Whatever this valley is, right? Does it forge them, right? Like steel? Does it make it better? And does it make the peak that much more fun? And then again, we have this subjective peak of what the fuck that means. For some people, it's the kids left the house. You know?
For some people, it's
put the kid in the back seat. And by the time you walk around to the front, it's like that space. I think Bill Burr does a joke about it. He's like, you put the car in. The minute you shut the door, I wish I remember did a joke.
Silence. But
the only freedom you have is that 7-second walk from the back seat of the car seat to the driver's seat.
It's so funny, and it probably feels like 7 freaking minutes. Like, you're like, yes. I don't mind that my wife walks so gosh dang slow.
So are there, right, peaks and valleys, right? Let's assume.
I have to say I'm not a fan of that, those analogies.
The terms are just saying peaks and valleys.
They're just too broad. Yeah. Like something like that can mean so different to the next person.
Yeah. I think if...
I mean, you can still use those as an example, but I mean, like, to me, the valley... Like you were describing it, it seems so, like, blasé.
Yeah, I think, well, it's usually used, right, in a negative sense. If somebody's, well, how's the job? You know, peaks and valleys. Right, all right, it must be a valley, you know, happening right now. But, or is it just a relationship, right, to say that there's peaks and valleys?
Is it just normal, like, that's just the way it goes?
Right, it's just to say, hey, this is part of it, this is the typical, right? But, you know, a lot of people, we're not the typical relationship, we're really not.
Well, I can say that anybody that thinks a relationship is going to be perfect all the time, or even close to perfect, they're on crack.
Yeah, sometimes when I have clients or a couples counseling, when they would come in, somebody would be upset about something kind of, and I would go, all right, and you expected what? And then when I'm going, well, tell me really what you expected. And as they start, well, I expected him to at least have this done or this clean and that done. And I'm going like, wow. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I don't think they have software that fucking manages inventory like that, lady. You know what I mean? And then, but when they hear them, you know, when they hear themselves say it, they're kind of like, shit, what was I expecting? You know?
Yeah. It's like the word even expecting, the only time I want to hear that is if I'm having a freaking kid.
Yeah, I think it comes up a lot, I guess, talking about the difference between having standards, expectations, and preferences. you know, walking into a relationship knowing, I guess, or having standards that need to be kind of met with you or whoever that person is, right, for yourself.
Yeah.
And then the expectation of going, hey, look, I kind of expect you not to do A, B, and C, but these things perhaps are a little beyond the standard.
Yeah.
You know, a standard would be, look, don't hit me. You know, a standard is don't cheat on me, right? These are the standards, but have an expectation. You know, I expect someone I'm with not to do, you know,
this or that. Yeah, that's important. Because if you're not communicating and that happens, it could be detrimental.
Well, a lot of it becomes the toil, right? Where the person doesn't know if their line has been crossed. You know, where the person, well, I'm here, I'm, you know, is the punch in the face of the cross, right? What's the blurred line if you're going in kind of saying, well, here's duh. Right, there's your does, sure.
Yeah.
But some people go right by the does and the standards they may have and just kind of, well, I prefer if he didn't cheat on me.
Oh, God, that's so imagine? Gross. No.
Well,
I don't understand why. If that's where you're at, why are you calling it a relationship?
Yeah.
Why not just call, somebody I'm hooking up with?
Yeah.
You know, like really what it is. Why? That's to me like... probably the best advice I'd ever give would be to be brutally honest and then tiptoe perhaps a teeny bit for the ones you love.
Yeah, I think the peak and valley, like you said, is way too general.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, well, I can hear somebody else. Well, you know, just know your self-value. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? I mean, okay. It's, again, that's subjective to a point. Because I would also say know the shit too, you know, that you're also bringing in.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of knowing what you bring to the table, other than just an obvious A, B, or C.
Yeah.
You know, other than just say, hey, you know, I bring that, you know, or how do you work on it? But there's so many cliches, you know, that apply of what it might be, what it's supposed to be.
It seems like the majority of the really important things are like disclosed fairly early in the relationship before it's even called a relationship.
Right.
Like, I don't think that I would say to you, yes, I'm willing to be exclusive until I felt like shit's clear.
Right. Well,
there's no confusion. And now I'm ready to say, how about it's just you and I?
Yeah, a lot of people walk that blurred line the first, what, month, 2 months, 6 months, sometime.
The first month when you start, like, even talking to someone, and maybe you guys talk every day, but you still have that get out of jail card for that first month of, I don't need to tell you everything just yet.
Yeah, or, what's
you
know? What does she say on the limit is when you're dating somebody to where you kind of, to one, because you don't want to be the borderline psycho person, right? That's been like, well, we've been on 3 dates and I just want to be around you all the time. Maybe you guys really feel like that, right? But who's going to be the first one to kind of put it in place? So what does she say to the line, whether the girl or the guy, whoever it is connected, does say, hey, I'm thinking this is a tad serious, more, you know, further, you know, is it 2 months to where you go, hey, is it just going to be us fucking?
See, I don't think there's really a time frame. I think it's a feeling, like I go with my gut feeling if I feel like it's appropriate. I wouldn't put a time frame on anything. If I did, I wouldn't be where I'm at with you.
Well, it would matter to the guy when this quotes gut feeling was thought about. So when is that thought processed as this feels appropriate? I like this. This must be right. You know, when does that line really pop up, or is it left really again to the subjective person?
Well, I wasn't necessarily ready for that line right away. Maybe when they were to say that, you know.
Yeah.
So what I would say before I did or didn't get to that point, I said it early on, which was, if once we had slept together, I'd say, if you're going to sleep with someone else, tell me before you sleep with me again and give me the choice if I want to.
Yeah, I'm taking it first. I'd be like, now we have to ask permission, though, according to the left progressive, though. Yeah, during the entire thing, you have to be like, are you okay? You do. They're talking like this. Then, like, from now on, like, during the act itself, it's reassurance of something, of a time frame. So it's even the female asking the male, are you okay? I am. Are you okay? I am.
I don't want anything in life to sound so programmed and like you're in freaking counseling or court or like there's a camera around, unless it's for a fun reason.
They tried to even pass the thing to where if there's alcohol and two consenting adults even, but alcohol is present, potential of rape exists in that scenario. Like, it really pushes us. I mean, there's places that are huge left
the
progressive.
The potential of rape exists if somebody smells really good.
Yeah, it's gross. And even just creepy dudes that are just standing around.
I've felt someone before, a creepy dude behind me, like go extra, like the closer to my head, you know.
Fucking punch him.
Ugh. Oh, I was like a big crowd, but I could feel it, you know, and it did gross me out to where you're like, I didn't even want to turn around and have a face to that sound. It was gross. I just was like moving forward. I was acting like, you know, someone's pulling me from my chest.
See, I couldn't even imagine. Motherfucker, smell me. And I see, as if I'll never know what that's like from a female perspective, be able to stand there and let a motherfucker sniff me like that, you know, and feel that's fucked up. It'd be like a House of Cards moment. I'll push that motherfucker right in front of the train. We waiting. I'm sorry. That's gross, man.
Yeah, there's some weirdos out there. You got to really be careful.
It's really to, you know, the individual, right, about
the peaks and valleys.
No, well, when you open up, when you kind of say, all right, look, I think it's okay to, even if you feel that way as a person, to even say, look, I'm not going to be doing this except just with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And bring that early and not sound too psycho. You know what I mean? I mean, it's almost safer, you know, one by just safer period to just be like, look, if we're doing this, it's just me, maybe even pre the first time, you know, like, look, if we, you know, I don't know, first time doesn't really matter. You get through the first time, right? I mean, that's your choice as a person.
I don't know that I'd discuss it the first time. I'd want to feel that, that flow, sense of maybe, I don't know, do I get it, do I not?
Yeah, because after you may be like,
Or like, do I have to sign somewhere?
Right, I'm not committing yet. Yeah, I'm not committing.
Yeah, so I don't think on that side. But I think that...
thinking ahead, I like what you're doing.
The type of person I am, and maybe yourself as well, that you're just open enough to, if you feel like you're going to actually be intimate with someone, that you could tell them whatever you freaking want to.
Yeah, I wonder how many relationships end every day where the guy or the girl a little early is like, hey, it's just going to be you and I, right? Doing that physical. And then the guy or girl responds like, what the fuck? And she's like, hell no. And he's like, what? No. And vice versa. Like, no, not at all.
Yeah, but you know what? What you have to do, sorry, I didn't mean to do that right in there, is break up clean with people. Like, cut it off.
Yeah.
Don't just drag it on to where you're misleading them. And even if you're misleading them just because you think you're being nice, you're not really. Just cut them the hell loose.
Yeah, I used to say that for some people, they stay together waiting until they hate that person. Right. And thinking that
or
anyway.
Or until they make that other person feel less than.
Well, that's
not
what,
intentionally.
That's what ends up happening, though, is if one already feels that way, right, and they're trying to leave, right, but they stay with them kind of in this way to kind of grow this hatred, but they think they're going to grow a hatred that becomes, you know, easier. It may be easier to walk out the door and stay gone more than a day or 72 hours, but eventually that hatred you try to build up, it can be bad stuff, too, even, because you may have a lot of good memories that relate to kids and stuff like that. So they start to come back anyway, and then you have this feeling of like, fuck, I hated this person. And then it's like twofold, like you're on opiates and now you're not, right? So it comes back. So many really do go through like this, have to get to where it's like, I fucking hate you. I hate you. I'm fucking out, right? Instead of going like, look, we obviously, like you said, we obviously aren't working. Can we just be like, you know, rock, paper, scissors for who gets the shit, write it evenly, you
know? I
know.
Wouldn't it be great if people could really get through that? But it's difficult probably for the person that is being broken up with to where they become bitter, like, fuck you. No, we can't just, you want to be nice now that you just threw my world upside down?
Yeah.
You know, they can be upset about it and not be so cordial. It's so easy to say when you're the one that's going, yeah,
right,
this isn't the book I want to read anymore.
Yeah. So the other person then responding to that pain too. But I mean, what's the real outcome? Is the other person then I don't know, full throttle enhances that I'm going to hate you now because you said that. But in the end, they're going to experience the same thing if that person stayed with, right? If the other person stays until hatred is built, right? And then the other one takes the information, right? It gets given the information, then resents the person. Well, then they'll have to go, I hate them. And then a little later, they're like, well, I don't fucking really hate them. At least they told me. Then they're.
I think the person that's holding on to the relationship that knows it's over is a very selfish, self-serving person.
Yeah.
They're doing it for themselves so that they can feel less guilty, so that they can be still in control of the situation. They can decide when and when not to have sex and drag it on until it gets to the point where you have to be mean to that person. And it's the whole time, you know, turning like, that person's heart.
That's like passively, aggressively staying until you hate someone rather than forcefully.
But they're portraying that they're being nice. And I don't want to just, you know, let you down, whatever. When you're toying with them, sleeping with them back and forth and still going, I just can't do this, you know.
Yeah, and most people, I say most people, that's a huge statement. Some people just don't, you know, say that and kind of end it cordially if they can, you know, and walk away. It kind of always builds up. You know, you see it so much building up to this hatred and a separation. But like you said, if people just kind of say, hey, before we end up hating each other or I do something or you do, you know, before it gets there, just, hey, you know, we'll take our time, you know, do it kind of kindly before it gets to maybe you or someone else going to another person. Just fucking say something.
You know what's so interesting nowadays is if you break up with someone, oh my gosh, the recourse they can do to you on the internet and just destroy you.
Fuck.
You know what I mean? If it gets ugly, you can just like in a matter of seconds put a freaking
pudding.
And that was loud, right? Let me mute mine. Oh, that's yours too.
Yeah, it's just live on here.
Okay. So, anyway, yeah, it would be scary to end a relationship ugly because you never know what that person has anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like before, when you were flirting back in the day, you'd give them a letter or a Polaroid, you know, something like that. You wouldn't be sending a text or, you know, sexting with them that can be sent back the next, you know, 2 weeks later going, oh, yeah, that's funny. He's saying the same thing here or vice versa, you know?
Yeah, if people are still willing to attack each other after a relationship has ended, there's still something there. If there's still so much hatred and revenge there in any way, then I would have to argue that there's still something there that those two motherfuckers ain't talking about, right? That they're just, you know, if two people are warring, yeah, so many people share that shit on social
media.
There's
a country song out there that says, she don't love me anymore.
Yeah.
That's when she just stopped caring. She stopped answering, like, it doesn't bother her anymore because she doesn't love you anymore. You are no longer relevant.
Well, I was talking about how people share it online, how people, they kind of openly just argue, and they may not even be together, it'd be 2-3 years and it's over, and they're still arguing like they're in the same room together. I would venture to say that somewhere there, both of you really still like each other, and you're still, it's kind of like back in grade school where the girl's hitting you, she likes you, it's like the love taps and shit.
It's funny too when you can see what a couple is doing online, when you really... You really think your girl is not seeing this. You really think your man is not seeing you. Or I go, I'll be watching it sometimes and I'll go, oh, honey, no.
Yeah.
God. Put that picture down. He does not care about that right now. You need to be invisible where he's like, where's my bitch? You know? Don't be like, oh, I'm the club.
Some of them you can follow. If you like on the guy page, the girl page, you're like, well, that's over.
Yeah.
Oh, he done did this. Yeah, she's posted this video now. Yeah. And you're like, what? And then it's comments and wars. And
you
like,
almost
God.
Just go, God, you know what? Just keep it together. Even if you break up, just keep it to yourselves.
Well, it's... some people even go so far, like with this suicidal shit, right? They go, when relationships end, you know, I'll never be the same. Like, if you really realize how fucking crazy that really sounds, that if another person, I don't care if they had your baby or any of this other link, that if you're so mentally attached and twisted to someone, that if they, you know, left you, you would feel the need to do that with so many people in the world. Nothing's guaranteed. Marriage is kind of a construct. Right? All this other stuff, the idea that that natural pull to feel something like that, that's a fucking scary, you know, blinding idea.
And it's so possible with even the smallest things. Everybody that, I shouldn't say that, but A lot of times, no matter what, when you want something and you can't have it, something as stupid as Tickle Me Elmo, where people go freaking nutballs, you might as well have been a person that's killing themselves over something like love that they're not going to change the outcome of it. Mm. Like you said, I mean, sure, it can consume people, but I definitely don't. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, some people get so deeply like Romeo and Juliet wrapped in that shit, and they really like to end it. Like mm-hmm. like Romeo and Juliet fucking did it. They get too crazy wrapped up in that.
I think those are the type of people that search for that drama. Like they want to just have an ending to their story the way that it's remembered.
Well, we talked for, I really enjoyed, we went down to Sarasota this Saturday, saw my brother who's back in Florida, moved back home with his family, and went and saw my mom too, my mom and everybody, but we got to ride, shout out to Arthur Lowry's down there, the Davises.
Yes.
We got to ride for like 2 hours down there, with the 2 hour ride back, man, we just talked about fucking everything. Like, that was like some deep time to like share about communication, what somebody liked, what they thought. And I thought, man, how often, you know, do relationships really get the chance, you know, to take the 2 hours like we did? We played no music, really.
Yeah.
And we talked about everything. Really, do they get the chance or take the time to create the chance to sit down and talk, and not about the cliche shit, not about the work, the politics, Dave at the office, you know, and Sally down at the thing. None of that, but really about their own life, their past, their traumas, their history, because we talked about some Freudian shit, you and I.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the nice thing, what the hell? I thought I could go on without just dragging my tongue. The nice thing, I didn't feel like it was like overly emotional, like where it was someone talking just about pain or something. I felt like it was really like an in-depth conversation where we were able to kind of step outside of the emotional side of it for a few minutes and go, well, I guess that does correlate with this. And, you know, it was fun dissecting what we were talking about.
Yeah, I like to explain it as like being two researchers that have created an observation or a experiment, and we're watching it take place. As I'm sharing, you're sharing, we're both kind of going, interesting, just kind of observing the words that are happening and stepping out of it, man. And it really, you know, how many people don't really take that time to talk or reveal about, you know, connections or their connections to their childhood and father, and not just funny stories that have been passed on, not the same bullshit, you know, weak remember wins, you know, the weakest form of conversation is the remember wins, right?
That's very true.
You know, but beyond the remember wins, you know, mm-hmm. of a relationship. Now, do you remember when we were, you know, 5 years ago, our second anniversary, our 10th anniversary, you remember when?
Yeah.
None of that, but to talk, you know, about just new thoughts, new ideas, even old experiences.
The experiences made you feel as opposed to what happened.
Ah, yeah.
You know, when we went down that route, it was interesting to me to recognize maybe new patterns in my life that I didn't realize existed until the new ones showed up.
Yeah, well, I get the same, you know, talking with you, and I think that happens because of the experimenter, you know, the researcher approach, in quotes, that we take, you know, but also kind of trusting the other person. They're a pretty good analyzer, you know what I mean? And I love Leo's statement, right? All things cool, calm, and benign. I'll solve anyone's problem unless it's mine.
Yeah.
And if we relate to that, the person I'm with, who's with me most of the time, who's talking, well, they have a pretty good view, you know, of a perception of what I can learn from and get from. Mm-hmm. And when there's that kind of respect there, you know, when there's kind of like this, yeah, we both feel here. So when that person says something, you can take it a little bit different, as not more of a critique. It's just like, oh shit, you know, help me tune the car just a tad.
Yeah, I've never been in a relationship where I felt like there was genuine communication on that level of being able to discuss what you do and do not like without jeopardizing the relationship. Yeah. You know, where you know that you love and you respect that person, so they have that open door of being able to say, I really don't like that, or whatever, you know?
Yeah, remember when we were talking about, I was reading Melissa's comment there, people need to be done, and she reminded me that people go back for more. Remember we were talking about the two or three types of people, right, that I think we were even going as far as saying men are more likely to and women are more likely to. So,
we did do that.
Yeah, so let's get some emails maybe. But I think what we were saying is right. It seemed like, as we were talking, that women are more likely to stay with the guy until they build up kind of a hatred for you.
Yeah.
And then kind of leave you once they've created that good enough hate to be like, all right, fuck you. And then they'll kind of bounce on you and then pop up with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
As the guy would be more likely to date you for a while, build up the hatred while kind of with you, but then leave as soon as they had the next monkey bar. You know, the next bar to grab to, that the guy leaves once he finds the other girl. The girl will leave once they hate you completely, and then we'll move on once they've left.
It seems like the guy chases the female that doesn't necessarily, that's the challenge, but then they'll have the stragglers that they can, here and there be good to. But, you know, basically what that female is liking is the fact that she's being treated badly. So she's drawn to that. So she's okay to be that side chick. Those side chicks are the ones that are being slowly let go by the men on that level.
Yeah.
And the females on the other side, and this is all, whatever, my own view. I don't have any statistics, but the females are the ones that are going, I've told you, I just don't like you that way. But yes, I'll go to dinner with you tonight. Okay? We can talk about it then.
Damn.
And then, you know, that's where I feel like I hear the dragging them on. There's no dragging on with the guys unless it's just like, dude, she won't leave me alone, kind of dragging on. But they're actually dicks to the girls.
Yeah.
You know, there's no misleading of sweetness. They're usually pretty upfront. It just takes longer because the girl puts up with it.
Yeah. That's, and now that I'm sitting here thinking on it, man, it's so wrong because you know how many ladies also work the monkey bar system where it's one to the next, one to the next.
And
you don't quite let go of the back monkey bar until you got a firm grip of the first one. And even then, sometimes you miss on the next swing, so you swing back and grab the other one.
you got to have your, they have two or three routing, the ones that are in your text feed randomly.
Yeah.
And then the two that you're dating. Until you decide which one, and then when that one starts to suck, then they go start putting their feelers out again.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. That's not true.
It's too much.
I could not have that be the way that I operate normally. That would have to be something random. I couldn't feel good about that.
One would be too much, because if you're really trying to, if you like somebody and you're really trying to kind of connect with them, the time that you have, you're trying to put the other people that are, even whether it's a side chick or other chick, any of that. Yeah. You're not really giving that relationship. You're not giving a fair shot.
Yeah.
Because you may miss it. You know, you may be a little diced up other places to where you're not putting that kind of energy or an openness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To connect that way. But this just started because we just can talk generally, and then we'll kind of walk down the he said, she said road with a generalization like this would be, and then you see where it takes us.
I thought it was pretty cool, too, when we were talking about what was the most important thing to you, you know, to figure, like, when I was saying, like, who I am as a person, the root of it would be loyalty.
What you value most?
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Remember,
for
the
last night.
Addition to that was what you value most is your God.
Yeah.
So when we were trying to determine what value, you know, what
like what made you stay, what made you go early, what made that was fun for me to really think about the true reasons why you might stay longer than normal in a relationship or with a job or. When you didn't even think about it, and then you go, wow, that is a pattern that I didn't recognize.
Yeah, when you figure out that one pillar, right, that philosophy of your relationship kind of standard, your expectation, preference, all gathered up, that one word of relationship and, you know, from, you know, loyalty or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or this or trust or whatever that is, and you see why, just like you said, why you end up staying too long is because the trust was, or why you actually left, because once that line got crossed, pew, well, you know, a lot of people are gone.
Once it was personal or something that was, like, that's what it was for me. Once it was nothing to do with me, of what I did, or something that they couldn't maybe fix themselves, is when it was simple for me. Just to go, okay,
Yeah, it's I still would say the same thing that I do now. There, if there was a method to the madness, there would not be a million books on how to, you know, keep or make or find the right relationship or whatnot. You know, so many people have their own theories and philosophies of what to do, how to make it better, how to make it last, and all this other stuff. And I would sum it up to where if two parties are both open and willing to be examined, mm-hmm. as much as they do the examining,
yeah,
and maybe look to how they can serve the other person in return, and that's an equal share there, mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a start. The rest, I think, becomes like decor. The rest is just fucking cosmetic after that.
I'd say protect your relationship. That would be like what I would do, to where I would make, when I protect something, I protect it all the way around, physically, emotionally, protecting it from too much of this, too much of that, so it doesn't die. I protect my relationship with you,
yeah.
You know, so when you see something that might make it go sour, you go, oh shit, I better start doing that.
And that can be the individuals, right? Because we talk about the relationship is three. It's three. It's the person, the other person, and the relationship itself.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's where Melissa commented again. You know, if you don't know your own self-worth, your relationship will not work. I'd say it a different way a lot. Is we accept the love we think we deserve. Mm-hmm. So if you're with that person you don't like that's doing something bad or treats you poorly, you really have to stand there as the self and say, look, we accept the love we think we deserve. So the person that you're with, that the way they love you, if it's not up to your standard, if you will, or expectation, or it's hurting you, we fucking accept it. We accept that.
There's a lot of people that have not really taken the time to think about what they deserve. Like, to really have their own set guidelines for themselves, that not necessarily for, you know, there are some people that their guidelines change with whoever they're dating.
Yeah.
You know, they put up with things from one guy they wouldn't have put up with from another, which is pretty common, actually, because they're, I mean, I guess I'm one of those.
Well, a lot of people don't know what the norm is. So, you know, whether the yelling is a norm or this is a norm, so many people encompass that the really only norm a lot of times in situations like that is you. You know, maybe it's you're the person that it has normalized what it is, if it's typically not normal or at least healthy, the relationship.
Right. And there are some relationships where that's just the way they communicate and it works, you know, like if there's, like, you know, there are some people that, when you start dating someone, they bring a certain personality out of you. They draw that from you. Like, it's much easier for me to be sweet to you than it would be for me to be sweet to somebody else, right? Because you bring that out of me. Whereas there have been plenty of relationships where I've never referred to them as baby.
Yeah, or just, it's easier, right, to, when you feel a connection, to kind of be open, again, where people connect, I think, again, it does sound that romantic every time I say it, but people connect in fears. I think they do,
yeah.
And when you open those fears up to one another, that opens a vulnerability, and that people connect in fears. I was like, Alex, look at it like this. You could grow up with somebody 20, 25 years from childhood as your good friend, right, and you're really close to them, and you go sit in a foxhole with some person you've never met, and both of you get in a shootout or machine gun fire, and you're taking fire, whether it's a couple hours or a day, whatever it is, and you two survive, you know, whatever that is, man, survive a deserted boat in the middle of the ocean, whatever. You two that survive will be closer than the person you knew or grew up with and known for 20 years and still hang with. And you'll feel that connection,
right,
because of a fear of connection, a life. And so as relationships, I say, look, it sounds good to say fall in love, etc. But we fall in love when we open ourselves about our fears, and that's how we connect. And that's why I say we fall in fear, not love, and we connect that way through vulnerability.
I agree with you on that. I didn't fear you, and I felt like I was in love with you right away.
Those feelings, though, that's fearful, right? When we're both kind of sitting there like, is this fucking for real?
I know, I was just teasing you. I knew what you were saying.
But, you know, it's still...
It was scary to me. I've never felt that way before about anybody. Not in that way. I thought I was in love before, and I loved that person, but I didn't realize that there was another level.
I was about to fall. There's levels to this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize that there was because I, yeah. You know, you just think, oh my gosh, I've never even felt this way before. It's so unfamiliar. Like the night that we met, I felt that connection where I was just curious in such a different way. And so you go.
Yeah. You go.
Never mind.
Oh, did I miss something?
Yeah, no, don't worry about it.
Imagine that. It was like, I'm still waiting like that.
I know, just forget about it. No, I'll tell you later.
Oh, all right, you wink, so okay, I'll take it. I look down like, all right, we're still alive, still going. Well,
yeah, it's okay. I messaged you about it, but don't worry about it. We'll chat about it later.
Oh, no.
No, it's no big deal. Proceed.
I know, I'm kidding. I'm just making... Okay. You know, that's also, right, the typical response, right? We'll jump ship to another topic. Is typically the guy or girl or whatever responding as if they're in trouble, right? And we pointed out, I think, about if you really question your filter in a relationship of what you assume that they think of you based on any behavior at any moment, at any time, pick it, whether you're doing this or say this or do that. And how many people may not realize is your first filter that you think of the other person, they must think I'm dumb. They must think that, right? Are we assuming, right? Is the person assuming right off the bat, or the person must have thought I was dumb by saying that, must thought that I was didn't get it by doing that, right?
Do you think they really think that, or do you think they think that of themselves and that's why they're doing that?
I think it's probably a little of all of it. You know, kind of a both, and who knows the relationship, right? And maybe the guy, like, every Tuesday is like, you're fucking stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe saying it. But a lot of times you, even in good relationships or ones that think they're okay or doing fine, if you think about the filter there, it's, I wouldn't say it's either one. I'd say it's just a cool place to start to just kind of for people to assume to go, you know what? Why do I always assume that my husband or my wife or my partner thought something ill of me? Just because I did that, what evidence have they given me to think that, you know what I mean? That they,
yeah,
the most they don't entertain. I think you hit it on the head of it. And a lot of times it's the self.
I used to, when somebody would question me in any way, I would really just go, what? No, that didn't even cross my mind, you know, just silly things about, like. Where were you or whatever, right? Or what you smell like or what you're wearing. When those things would be brought up to me, I would literally almost like be looking around like, what the heck are you talking about? Like they didn't cross my mind at all. And then when I would share that kind of stuff with like my girlfriends or whatever, they go, you do know people that question it are the ones that are usually doing it or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then later, I start to think, sometimes I question stuff and I don't do that.
Yeah.
So it's like that rule doesn't always apply.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't always apply.
Are they just psychotic? Or, you know, are they just going, are they insecure?
Yeah, well, either way, the assumption, well, I think the person, it's left to the person to kind of decipher from their own perception of why it's there. But a lot of people, I think, don't recognize that it's even there, that... You know, it's a kind of a different mind frame, right? If somebody can put on a different filter, if you will, different kind of, you know, tinted glasses and not rose color. But the idea of saying, look, if let's say they've made a commitment to the person, right? Either way, if you've made a commitment to that person, whether it's marriage or not, or long distance, whatever, long term, whatever, you've made this commitment, they've made it to you. If that's already there, one, how it seems how funny people forget that. And then kind of go, wait, I chose them. They kind of chose me too. So they both like each other. But then it gets to this point sometimes where people do have that first filter, right? That the person, well, must assume.
Yeah, like maybe what they're used to being treated like. So they naturally fall into, everybody thinks that way when I do this.
Right, right. But if you can really, as a new relationship or a new way, I mean, even a new paradigm in a long existing already relationship, right? Uh-huh. Say it's been together 20. If you can be aware, it may not be everyone's filter or first filter, if you will, is a cool reference. That if your first filter of your partner is your assumption of their, or your assumption they're thinking something ill of you, why is that there, right? Just a place to start to say, man, I'm assuming that they're thinking ill of me as my first filter. Instead of going, man, we've committed to each other, we've shown this, all this evidence is here, why wouldn't my first filter be of the person I'm with? Did not assume I was dumb just because of that. Yeah. But they actually think I'm the smartest, the coolest.
Maybe it's like
it's hard. I'm not
pride and insecurity. I would say it's a nice combination of those two things, to where they're insecure, but at the same time, they don't want to admit that they're insecure. So it's a mixture of hatefulness.
But if one can be like you and I walk through like researchers, right, and kind of observe it like a puzzle and kind of bring it to the light of, well, it's there because of this, maybe, right? Because there's no real answer. You're not going to come to it. But when you
you can't dissect it to where it's there always. You have to dissect it to where there it might happen randomly, like maybe just because of one specific insecurity. Like, you know, I'm that's like, true. For instance, with you, I might be like, if you were going to talk about me about certain things, there's no doubt in my mind that you'd be like, hell yeah, she's fucking shit, you know? Right. Yeah. But then maybe if they said, hey man, we're getting ready to go do this competition of co-ed, frisbee competition, man, what's Patricia like? You might go, where's she at? You know?
No, I would not stand up for it.
You see what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I know exactly. That was funny, though. I know exactly what you mean, right? Because, well, how good are we talking, and how much money is the tournament? We need some
detail. Do you have to lose?
But no, that's
you have to gain a good time, but physically, what do you have to lose if there's money involved?
I think that's a perfect example. You know what I mean? It's a lighthearted example, too, for people to think about, as if the response is there. Well, what's that truthful response, or what's your first, not yours, but GU's first, remember, General U, trademarked by Adam Lowry, Cognitive Rampage. GU stands for the general U, so you don't have to explain the fact when you're talking to somebody, you don't mean you as in them. So when the GU then's first assumption of their partner's thought of them, is it ill or positive? And if you can talk to your partner about that, and kind of say, let's just for a second try to put the first filter on, despite of anything else, for a day, for an hour, for 6 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Try to just wear a filter that your first assumption of your partner's thought of you is you're the fucking shit. Is your yeah. And now yours has to be the same too. And so, you know, your first assumption of them of you, mm-hmm. and just try for like 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, an hour.
It does make you put things like we were talking about last night. It put things a little bit in slow motion, where you're paying attention to your reaction, because if you reassure yourself, this man thinks I am amazing. When I'm doing something, I would not be thinking, I don't want to tell him anything because this man thinks I'm amazing.
What do he mean by that? Or right then the guy's like, well, what's that face mean?
Yeah.
Right, there's none of that, because mm-hmm. what's happened is there's both going, they must just think I was hilarious.
Yeah.
They must have just thought I was the smartest person in the world right now.
Yeah, it's really fun to experience that feeling, actually, like when someone actually laughs at your jokes, they smile at you when you're talking, those things that you didn't recognize that were missing until you have them.
Yeah, it's a cool experiment. I like how you're very open to be a researcher and
sometimes, though, like you'll have research that you tell me about afterwards. I mean, I know you were supposed to do that, but sometimes then I go, so were you just like coercing me to do that? So that wasn't actually a real conversation. You know what I mean? And then the result is like, I mean, it's interesting to hear, but then I just go, are you recording this? You know, like, is this a survey?
And sometimes if a relationship was like this thing, right, like a ship or something, and you're in the relationship, it's like it's kind of like the tree in the backyard. Sometimes if you're not looking, I've already jumped in the tree and climbed it a bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're in the relationship. I'm constantly walking around kind of tinkering with it, just messing with it. And,
yeah.
And, but you're always, you're pretty open most of the time to be that researcher with me, you know, and kind of look around at the machine and go, what are you fucking with now?
Yeah, you know, I do. I stop what I'm doing and then I play with you and you play with me. There are little games of what we like to do or dig into, and then the good thing is we're able to go right back to, I'm gonna go do this now, and you go do your, you know, climbing the tree or or frisbee or, you know, all this.
It's the, the openness that you have that allows us both to talk about the relationship without going, hey, put your, you know, we could say, basically what we're saying metaphorically is, hey, put your lab coat on for a second. Let's take a microscopic view at the relationship, not the self or you or me, and let's kind of tinker with it. You think maybe about this or like that.
You can even do weird, stupid things. Like today, when we were packing, I said to him, pick one thing out of my closet that you wish I'd throw away.
Holy shit. No, hold on. Let me preference
this. No, it doesn't matter. You can't care. You have to, you're getting ready to say, okay.
So. I think it's fucking hilarious.
Okay, good.
Because I'm trying to preface all the gentlemen out there that this kind of question hits you in left field. I want to know your response, gentlemen. I want to know when you're sitting out there, and then you can talk about, tell my response. But
right. This is funny. So I'm in my walk-in closet, and he's in his podcast storage room or whatever. So we're kind of like not yelling, but because, you know, we can hear pretty well, but so we can't look, we can't see each other. So, but I'm organizing stuff, and I'm like, hey, babe. If you could choose one thing to tell me to just get rid of it, tell me now. And I'll do it. I don't care what it is. And he's like, No.
Hold on. Now, guys, you take this scene out, ladies, too. Now I'm in the other room. She can't see my face or nonverbal. And what I've been asked is, she's on a closet cleanout spiel here, or like spree. She's cleaning it all out. She goes, what one piece of clothing item do I wear or that you see a lot that you can't stand that you wish I'd just get rid of?
Oh, I did say that. Mm-hmm. I'm a horrible storyteller.
Yeah. That you wish that I would just get rid
of. Well, it's not like I said that I look disgusting. I didn't do that.
Oh, but it was. So I'm in the other room like, oh, shit. And so now the first response was pretty good because I go, honey, nothing because you're wearing it. Anything you're wearing looks good.
Yeah.
That's the initial one. And then I waited like a fucking hour. I waited an hour, maybe two, and then walked by, and then I answered your question.
I know.
When you'd forgot about it. I gave you the cliche, like, all of it looks beautiful on you.
Yeah, he did say it, like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready.
I came by.
I'm ready. That's my Frisbee chick.
I told you what, and then I ran.
Yes, he did. And let me answer this, or let me ask you this. Do you regret it?
Not at all.
Okay.
I'm thinking about running now, though.
No, I'll tell you a little story about that little sweater.
Yeah. Well, not just because it covers you up too much. That's all.
Yeah, he did choose. I have this sweatshirt. It's from Free People, and it's overpriced. Looks like somebody cut it up and sewed it together.
And it's over and chopped the, too much of
it
you.
Is boxy, whatever, but it's a loungy sweatshirt. And I did like it, and I do like it, but I also remembered this, and I'm able to part from it. For one, my daughter has been asking me for this sweatshirt forever, Carmen.
You're welcome, Carmen. There you go. I just got you a sweatshirt.
I did like it or whatever, but then he did ask me, okay, what do you want to get rid of in my closet? And I didn't do that exercise because I had something to say. What are you doing?
I accidentally stabbed myself with the mic. It was hilarious, and I wanted to watch it on the replay.
What?
I was turning the mic and trying to sit up a little more because my neck was starting a bit, so I went to sit up and relax some, and I go, and while you were talking, I go, bam. Mm-hmm. So I was watching it on there.
Okay. Well,
you're welcome, Carmen. You have the wonderful Free People sweatshirt.
Yes. Yeah, so I did roll it up and put it away to give to Carmen. And then he asked what his was to give away or to get rid of. And
well, you walked in my closet like you were just like Gestapo. You were like, all right, my turn.
Yeah. After he told me which one, I was like, oh, yeah. I'm flinging his closet door open like, let me in here.
And there's nothing.
And I get in there, and it's like you can hear like the hangers just going because they're empty, or there's like the nice four organized ones. He's definitely, he weeds through it nicely. Like if there gets a hole in it, he'll throw it away. But he kind of really does his research too on what he was going to buy in general anyway. I know you're still here. I was just talking to the crowd out there.
Okay, I was like,
you got jokes today? There we go. Okay.
Go on.
Ooh, I'm surprised you did that in the little microphone.
Yeah, well, we hadn't had a go on yet.
Oh, that's right. We haven't.
Yeah, you're not going on.
I'm not going out. No.
It's late as shit, baby.
Let's roll it.
I'm tired.
Call it. What's the time of death?
Time of death is 1:13 a.m.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, we're late Sunday from he said, she said. We also fucking fire hosed a lot of fucking information and topics, too.
We did, yeah. We had some overload of topics all day.
Yeah, well, I mean, just we covered a bunch just in that little set topic meeting. I have no words.
Session.
The cognitive rampage is cognitive whispering.
Thank you for joining us tonight at He Said, She Said. Good night.
Next Sunday at 8 o'clock. Hey, wait. Whoa.
Oh, wait. You know what?
Next Sunday. I thought you were really going to say something. The next Sunday, we're going to be at the beach, right? We'll be at the beach house by then?
No, honey.
We won't. It's Easter Sunday. How funny is that? Remember, April Fool's right. Day is also Easter.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Lisa's birthday's coming
up. Some people are like, fuck you, Adam. But no, seriously, it's hilarious. And April Fool's Day is on Sunday. I'm serious.
Isn't it ironic?
So next Sunday at 8. Actually, yeah, we're going to be down in Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Maybe we could take the podcast gear. Go live from down there.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That would be cool. Maybe Sunday we'll go live from down in Fort Lauderdale. But if not, we'll probably go live maybe Tuesday night, April 3rd, when we do move into the beach house. We'll go live from there if we don't go live from Fort Lauderdale Sunday, mm-hmm. April 1st.
Your tone is definitely going. It's that the sound it would hear when we would say goodnight. It would be like 2 a.m. Yeah, I'm really listening to you.
Deuces. Thanks for joining us on the He Said,
She Said
cast.
Nope.